What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, listen up, I got a question for you. What's actually keeping you from joining our Patreon page? I'm seriously curious. If you think it's too expensive, and by the way, that's totally fine, I get it. But if $1 a month or $5 a month isn't within your budget, you can always follow our Patreon page for free, the same way you can follow a Substack for free. You'll get alerts about new episodes, you can comment under the free episodes, and more. Just go to patreon.com/BobSeskaShow and follow us. Or you can sign up for our bonus content like the Shadow Docket shows and the Friday After Party. Again, that's patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
We could not talk or talk forever and still find things to not talk about.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, March 26, 2024. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hello there, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,162 of the Biden-Harris administration, 224 days until the 24 presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram at TheBobSeska, Spoutable Bob Seska, Blue Sky Bob Seska, on our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And that guy right there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news.
When yeah. You say Buzz Burbank.
A funeral.
You've said it all.
Here he comes.
Yeah, a funeral for the Biden impeachment. Yeah, that's today.
Yeah. Jesus.
They have to leave early. Right. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
He's Bob. I'm Buzz, and we are not going to the big dance. and just so you know, if today's monologue falls short of the expected laughs, the judge has given me 10 more days to write fewer jokes. It's a good deal if you can get it. There's been a lot of controversy about this, you know, but I think people will be less upset about NBC News hiring Ronna McDaniel once they find out it's really just George Santos in drag.
Ew.
This is sad. Hundreds of newspapers this week announced they would no longer publish stories from the Associated Press.
Yeah.
Many of the papers say they will rely instead on stuff they hear at McDonald's.
Of course they will. God damn it. You're pissing me off today, Mr. Burbank.
Yeah, you're in good hands, Bob. And this week, for the first time, doctors implanted the kidney of a pig into a man.
Wow.
The operation was a success, but they immediately had to put the guy on Ozempic.
See, it's a pig.
Made a pig of himself, yeah. Sure. The Justice Department has accused Apple of having a monopoly on the cell phone market.
Yeah.
And I learned this while playing Monopoly on my iPhone. I just thought it was fun. And finally, Marjorie Taylor Greene is threatening to try to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson.
Of course.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Because normally, when Republicans want to get rid of a Johnson, they just call in Lauren Boebert.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
All right, kicking off a brand new week with this one from the great Rocky Mountain Mike and ELO. Here we go.
Talking to Ukraine on the telephone line, it's magic. I'm bitching and moaning to get quid pro quo became tragic. And Giuliani had this master plan. What's he doing? What's he doing? Trump, totally you're fired, baby.
It's your freedom you're going to lose.
Fingers crossed. Oh,
this impeachment thing. What a terrible thing to lose. It's a prison thing. It's your freedom you're going to lose.
We hope.
This impeachment thing.
Well, that already happened. He was impeached a couple times.
And he lost both times.
Great Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky MNTN Mike on Twitter. That's a classic.
I mean, we said it a couple of times during the song. I really hope it's a prison thing. But, you know, we have days where we have our doubts, right?
Oh, God, yes, yes. And that was certainly the last couple of days, observing what was happening in New York City with Donald Trump.
So much going on, it's hard to know where to start.
Well, yeah, where we start is you just yelling this.
He can't keep getting away with it!
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He can't keep getting away with it.
But he does. He right, does. He somehow keeps wiggling out of trouble, and I don't understand it. I don't know how people keep falling for his bullshit, but there it is.
So it seems. I mean, a lot of us are losing or have lost faith in our system of justice or of injustice. I just posted this before the show. Thanks to a deal with prosecutors, the longstanding charges the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton committed securities fraud have been dropped.
Oh, fuck. So, God damn it!
Time after time, it just feels like there is no accountability. Now, right. I hope we can offer some hope on those points and some positive perspectives about what is actually happening, because we do tend to focus. The bad is real. I'm not denying the bad. I'm just saying sometimes we focus on it so much we miss the good that's also out there.
Yeah.
So we hope to bring both of those to the table today.
Yeah, and by the way, the Ken Paxton thing, is there also a separate federal investigation of Paxton?
That was the federal investigation,
oh, it was.
I believe.
Okay.
It's been going on nearly 10 years, Bob, this Federal Securities and Exchange Commission accusation of fraud against the Attorney General of the state of Texas, this evil guy who's been behind so many extreme right-wing MAGA policies.
I thought
they had him dead to rights, but now we've reached a point after nearly 10 years of investigating that prosecutors have thrown up their hands and struck a deal with Ken Paxton that drops the charges against him. Now, what the rest of the deal is, I don't know, but it certainly, and I know a lot of people are feeling this, it just feels like there's no justice, no accountability, and certainly we saw that in at least one case with Trump this week.
Yeah, there is a separate FBI investigation into corruption related to a wealthy donor,
federal investigation.
Right. Okay, there it is. See, we're on top of things today. We've got our fingers on the pulse of the news.
There are a lot of moving parts. So many criminal investigations. Yeah. So little time.
We're going to talk about what happened in the New York Appeals Court in a second. We're going to talk about Ronna McDaniel here in a second and what's happening at NBC News. But before we get into any of those things, we got to talk about the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.
Yes. Yeah.
Jesus God, you've seen the video, right? I was just watching it before the show.
Unbelievable.
Terrifying, utterly terrifying. So this container ship bashed into a part of the bridge, and then almost the entire bridge collapsed, right?
Port of Baltimore, the Baltimore Harbor, the largest, second largest seaport in the mid-Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And this barge was headed out, and I'm sorry, I don't have the information in front of me, but it was headed for a foreign destination.
Okay.
And it had just launched. When suddenly the boat, the device, the craft lost propulsion. It suddenly had no way to not only to push it forward, it was adrift, but they had no way to guide it.
Yeah.
And so they immediately called in a mayday, and reported that they had lost propulsion and that their direction, that they were headed in the direction of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And because they had no ability to steer the vessel, it hit one of the supports of the bridge, and the whole damn thing came tumbling down. Fortunately, because they were able to get in that distress call so early, and thankfully, officials in Baltimore state, I don't know if they were state officials or local officials, immediately took action to restrict traffic on the bridge so there would be as few injuries and or fatalities as possible. As we record this show, they're still looking for 7 people. There may be more missing. I had heard at one point up to 20. We'll see.
What a nightmare.
Indeed, because it was initially listed as a mass casualty event, and it may still be. It may, by the time you hear this, turn out to be exactly that. But as we speak, they only know of 7 people missing. They have rescued 2. One is fine. The other is very seriously injured.
Mm-hmm.
The work continues. Some of what collapsed onto the vessel itself, onto the ship, boat, whatever you call it.
Yeah, large, a container ship. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the container ship fell onto the ship itself. Mm-hmm. And so that's where some of it is. But this I-695 route around Baltimore is now out of service and is relied upon by millions of commuters.
Yeah, it's known as the Baltimore Beltway, 695, loops entirely around the Baltimore Metroplex. And this, what I'm seeing here in the picture, the length of the bridge that collapsed, looks like it's maybe a quarter mile, maybe more.
I think it's 1.3 miles.
Oh, my God. So it's actually, it's more than a mile. Jesus.
I believe so, Bob. Let me double check that again. But I think that's what I read.
Right.
Well, reading the history of the bridge earlier.
Yeah, well, the Associated Press says that several vehicles were on the bridge at the time of the collapse, including one the size of a tractor-trailer truck.
Yes.
Yeah, and so this was in the middle of the night when this happened. So I can't even imagine if this had happened during rush hour.
Thankfully, 1:28 in the morning.
Yeah. It's everyone's worst nightmare when you're crossing a bridge. I mean, we all think about it when we're going across a bridge.
Gotta think about it more now.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes. In fact, I'm driving up that way in the next, certainly sometime this weekend.
Not on that road, you're not.
No. I usually don't take 695. I used to take 695 when I was driving to college, but not that direction, not that part of 695. That's if you imagine the Baltimore Beltway as a clock, the Francis Scott Key Bridge is at around, I don't know, 4 or 5 o'clock on the
That's very helpful.
Yeah.
That's very helpful to me. Yeah, if you imagine Baltimore is the center of the clock, it's around 4 or 5 o'clock. Mm. Yeah, here it is in front of me. It's a 1.6 mile bridge. Crossing the Patapsco River.
Yeah.
And that is where Francis Scott Key was inspired, perhaps by his slaves, to write the national anthem in 1814.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the water is freezing right
48
now.
Degrees. 48 degrees. God, hypothermia would set in very quickly. Like very, very quickly.
Seeing the video is shocking from a couple of points of view, insofar as one point of view is when the bridge actually comes down, it looks like something from a Hollywood movie. It looks like something from a blockbuster.
Several
like
people have said that. I understand that, yeah.
Yeah, if you think of, what movie was it? The Dark Knight Rises, the third Christopher Nolan Batman movie, where the bridges around Gotham collapse. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like. And then the second thing is, before the bridge collapses.
By the way, is there anything we can't learn from a Batman movie?
Of course, where I go naturally to a metaphor.
Point of reference. It's whatever, you know, your point of reference is. Sure. I'm sorry. Sure. I couldn't help but notice. That's my job
here. Yeah, well, and then prior to it, as you watch the full-length video, you're seeing all these cars and tractor trailers go across, where you can see the headlights going
like
by.
Like toys.
Even before they tumble down in, you can see the cars crossing the bridge, and you go, my God, can you imagine being one of those cars that actually made it across the bridge seconds before it collapsed?
Or the feeling of being in one of those cars as it was falling.
Yeah. Right, because one of the sections of bridge sort of just began to tilt downwards until it was facing directly downward, almost like if you imagine the Titanic going down.
Right,
it was perfectly vertical. And so if you're on that roadway as it's going there, I can't imagine. I guess your car would start to. I don't want to think about. I don't know why I'm going down this road about what it would feel like to be.
That's what you do, and you're going to make people afraid to cross any bridge now.
I'm making myself afraid. I'm like.
That's why we're all very grateful for Joe Biden and his actual work on infrastructure.
Yeah.
When I first heard this, I thought, oh my God, infrastructure, this is.
Yeah.
But. It wasn't that. It was an accident. It was a terrible accident.
Yeah.
There's been no indication, as I'm sure everyone knows as they listen to this, there's been no indication that this was intentional or anyway a terrorist act.
Well, there has been some infrastructure or I would say shoddy infrastructure problems where bridges have collapsed with cars on them. There was one recent one, maybe last year or the year before, where there was a bus on the bridge too, and it went down and everything, of course, collapsed into the water below. This is one of the most terrifying things in the world.
Well, if you want to make people afraid to cross bridges, I mean, there are government statistics available on this, because all bridges are inspected by their jurisdictions, states, counties, and cities inspect their bridges. Mm-hmm. They check the bolts, and they check the stress, and they measure things, and they evaluate. And the truth is, all of our bridges are in really bad shape. And that's why, and it was because of incidents like the occasional bridge collapse, mm-hmm. that prompted Joe Biden to focus on, unlike Trump, really getting something done on infrastructure. And now he's got another bridge to build.
I wonder if there's going to be something added to bridges near ports that will provide some sort of bumper or buffer between wayward ships and the upright part of the bridges, the bridge supports.
I don't know. I'm sure there are more things than we always learn from our past mistakes.
Yeah.
But I know from looking with my own eyes at the supports for bridges that steps have been taken to mitigate those sorts of things. But I there's certain things I don't even know if you can prevent.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that there should have been, but maybe there should have been. But, I mean, that's one of those things that is so rare that you don't really even think of it until it's already happened. And you go, well, geez, that might have been a good idea to have something like that. But, you know, here's a thing that I noticed, too, and not surprisingly at all, is that on Elon's Twitter, all of the blue check trolls and bots and conspiracy theorists and MAGA weirdos, they're all screaming about the fact that this company that runs this container ship has a DEI policy, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion.
I'm sure that's the cause of this.
Yes, yeah. they're all saying it, that's the reason, and which is to say that the entire MAGA army is saying, black guy, we don't even know who was driving the ship, who was captaining the ship. And they're already going immediately to, well, it had to have been some sort of incompetent black person running the ship. Like, Jesus God, you people. And the person specifically that pisses me off the most in this scenario is Elon Musk himself, because he's created this environment where, and we're going to talk about this in the context of the appeals court decision as well. Right. It is a shit show on Twitter right now. I've never seen anything like that. I've been on that platform since 2009, Buzz, and I've never had to turn off replies to tweets until yesterday.
I have to say, and I don't have nearly the reach that you do, but even I have noticed it, and I've heard from other people to notice it. It's not just you, and I want everybody to know, it's not just you, it's not just me, it's other people. There's been this flood, this almost seemingly coordinated campaign, this flood of MAGA influencers suddenly appearing in a feed where I never saw them before, or almost never saw them, because I'd pretty much eliminated everybody. Now they're back again, this is very concerning, of course, as we in the final 7 months of this election campaign.
Oh, yeah. I think in three different tweets, I reacted to the New York appeals court decision with regard to Trump's bond.
Yeah.
And the amount of blue check trolls, and they were all at the top of the replies. It wasn't like they were buried or in a queue based on who replied first. It's like Elon Musk set up the algorithm to shove all the a-holes, weirdos, and bots into the top results in the replies, into the topmost section of replies. And so you immediately see them. So I spent a good, 2 hours yesterday hiding and blocking one bot after another, just going down. Man. And I spent so much time doing that. And the more time that ticked by in which I was doing that, the more pissed off I got, to the point where I was like, you know what? Once I'm done with this, I'm shutting off replies to these tweets. I can't even believe I have to do that.
Same thing's happening on Facebook, by the way. Yeah. I don't know about the other platforms, but Facebook and Twitter, there's been this sudden flood. And there are a lot of, when you combine the Facebook and Twitter audiences, that's a lot of people seeing this crap.
Yeah, right. And one of the cases I made, one of the posts that I put up on Twitter, tweets, posts, I don't know what they're called now, but I made the case that there's a two-tiered system of justice. And Donald Trump is one of the primary beneficiaries of that two-tiered system of justice.
Oh, Bob, no, he has his own tier.
Yeah, no shit.
You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. And so I said, well, you know, George Floyd was arrested, tried, convicted, and executed within 9 minutes. And of course, I'm not literally saying that all those things happened, although Derek Chauvin did serve as all of those things, decided this guy was a crook and that he needed to die, and so he killed him. And he's sitting in prison right now because he murdered George Floyd. Then I said, Eric Garner died from a chokehold for selling cigarettes, but Donald Trump gets all kinds of leeway from the legal system in this country. Leniency after leniency, concession after concession, so much latitude for this guy that no one else gets. No one else can be afforded this kind of latitude. If you or I had ever not made bond in a case like Donald Trump did, we would be on the hook for that. And if we didn't pay it on time, he got 30 days from Letitia James to pay it, which is a grace period that he did not deserve. And then he's getting an additional 10 days on top of that.
Right.
I guess the point I'm trying to get at here is person after person in the replies on that observation where I compared what happens to black men in this country with the legal system, with the law enforcement system in this country. There was troll after troll after troll after troll after troll saying, oh, he died of a drug overdose.
Right.
He was fentanyl, Bob. How you're so stupid. I can't believe you're even saying he was murdered. He died of a drug.
It was fentanyl that Joe Biden took to his house.
So these are people with blue checks spreading all over the internet right now.
Yeah.
That George Floyd died of a drug overdose, not because he was murdered by Derek Chauvin, a murder that was adjudicated in court and which Derek Chauvin was sentenced to, I think it was at least 22 years in prison.
Right. I mean, hopefully we all stopped paying attention to blue checks a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a proliferation of these kinds of tweets. I haven't even noticed if they have blue checks or not. All I notice is a flood of them, probably with and without blue checks, and certainly on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
There's a tsunami of this crap underway right now, and a lot of us are spending our time blocking and deleting and fending off this kind of thing. And it happens, you were talking about the two tiers of justice.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention in that context, a headline from a morning newsletter from the Washington Post. The headline reads, Donald Trump deserves his day in appeals court. Opinion by the editorial board.
God damn it. That's some serious bullshit.
How many breaks does this guy get?
Yeah.
What other, I mean, name one other person for whom the system of justice, as it is called, has bent over backwards so many times for. Mm-hmm. Well, we must, you know, afford him the same, you know. No, it's not the same. And that's a lie.
Yeah.
And almost everyone sees through it at this point. We are lost and adrift ourselves and headed for a pylon with a lack of a justice accountability. There is some, of course. A hope is not lost. He may still have to pay the $464 million plus interest.
Mm-hmm.
He still has to be the first former U.S. president to face criminal charges, his criminal trial for lying on government forms to cover up hush money payments to a porn star to cheat in an election, to win an election. That starts April 15th, and there's nothing he can do to delay it.
Yeah.
You know, so there are glimmers of justice, but when Ken Paxton gets off the hook and Trump gets another 10 days and a lower bond to post in the meantime, I know the justice has leaned much too far in the favor of these defendants.
The most loathsome pile of dog shit in the United States gets all kinds of special latitude not afforded to millions of other people.
Regular people.
Yeah. If you owe money to the IRS, it's tax season right now. A lot of people are facing this conundrum. If you owe money to the IRS and you can't afford to pay it, say, for example, there was maybe some sort of windfall that you didn't prepare for, that you didn't make estimated payments to cover as far as your tax liability, and then suddenly you get hit with, well, I don't know, with four figures, five figures maybe in terms of a tax liability at tax season, and you call up the IRS and say, I don't have the money, I can't pay this. Immediate lien on everything that you own. Your house, your property, they attach everything, and that happens immediately. There is no wiggle room. There is very little recourse.
It helps. I want us to, when we object, and we are right to object, I want us to do so intelligently. And I know there are people listening to us who maybe don't have a full perspective on this. Constitutionally, and I know, you know, the Red Hats have brought up the Eighth Amendment, but what the Eighth Amendment essentially says is no person, what the government can do under the Eighth Amendment is it can, it can try you and find you guilty,
yeah,
and it can punish you, but it's not allowed to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
And the appearance here, to some, I guess it can be argued that this kind of a penalty on Trump seeks to destroy him. Well, it's not exactly what you and I wanted, but that's not what the government's necessarily allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so while this is being appealed, I think he's going to lose the appeal. I think he's going to have to pay the $464 million plus the interest that accrues in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure that he's really won anything here other than a delay and a potential to get himself in more trouble. But yeah, it's not the kind of appearance we seek, because it just looks like he gets break after break after break. But the thinking here is, maybe to save this case from appeal, by giving him this one more break, maybe we can successfully stave off any appeal.
One of the reasons I'm so pissed off about this is he just did to New York State what he's done to countless subcontractors and vendors.
Understood.
For the last 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
He goes in and he cries poverty. I can't afford to pay it. I don't have the money. I'll give you this amount, this much lesser amount, and it's usually lowballed to an extreme, so that when the counteroffer comes back, it's an amount that's a little bit higher than what he wanted to pay, but it's a lot less than the original payment. So he goes into the New York Appeals Court yesterday and says, I want to pay $100 million as the bond. He can get his hands on $100 million very, very easily. So he says $100 million, expecting that it's not going to be $100 million. It'll be a little bit more than that. You see what I mean? That's generic Donald Trump negotiation tactic.
We talked about this last week, that we laughed about the fact that he had offered $100,000. $100 million. And we laughed about the very idea of this penalty being negotiable.
Yeah,
and I know. Yet that is what happened.
Yeah. And so, I guess what happened was the appeals court said $175 million, which is almost double what he was asking for. But it's still far less than he's able to pay.
We did not get the pound of flesh we were hoping for. Right. I think we still will. That's what I'm saying. Now, it has been argued that because the appeals court ruled the way it did, that his $464 million may ultimately be reduced. I don't know, maybe. Even so, one of the late night hosts joked last night, can you imagine hearing, good news, you only owe $175 million.
Yeah, I know.
So even if they reduce it to $250 million or whatever, ouch. We're still going to get our pound of flesh, and perhaps in a way that will not allow him to successfully appeal. I think what's happening here is an effort to protect this decision from appeal.
I hope that's the case, because the headline that we got today, just on the heels of him crying poverty before the New York Appeals Court yesterday. The headline is, Trump joins Bloomberg's 500 wealthiest list after Truth Central merger. Former President Donald Trump is now one of the wealthiest people in the world after his media company, Truth Central is what he calls it, completed a merger that will see it debut on the stock market. Trump joined Bloomberg's list of the world's 500 richest people on Monday after the deal that could net him up to $4 billion was approved. Special purpose acquisition company, SPAC, we've been talking about this since the deal was first struck, merged with Truth Central. That's the parent company is Trump Media and Technology Group Corp. On Monday, following months of negotiations and legal challenges, allowing it to make an initial public offering on the NASDAQ quickly. Trump owns roughly 58% of the new company, a stake that's valued at about $3 billion to $4 billion. He is barred from selling shares for at least 6 months.
Exactly.
But the assets immediately drove up his net worth on the Bloomberg list.
On paper.
Yes. But yet he's in the New York Appeals Court yesterday crying poverty.
Of course.
God damn.
It's galling.
Yes, yes. Yeah. This is one of those stories, like the stories I read about Elon Musk, where it's like, good God, bring back the 90% tax bracket for these assholes.
Oh, I totally agree. Obviously, I wouldn't be here. Yeah. But I want to try to talk folks off a ledge here, because everybody was saying with the Truth Social merger, he's going to get $3 billion. Well, no, not for 6 months. I mean, the earliest he could get it is 6 months from now. So this $3 billion is not going to bail him out. I saw progressives all over the internet saying, he's going to bail out with this $3 billion. No, read the fine print that Bob just read. He can't touch it for 6 months. So it only exists on paper.
However, he can use these shares as collateral and get a loan for that amount and collateralize these shares, which is what they essentially call stocks cash equivalent. So when Donald Trump says, I'm going to put up cash as collateral, he's probably putting up shares in Truth Central. That's how he's doing this. And since it's worth $3 billion to $4 billion, he could afford to lose that money, lose those shares, and still have billions. So that's what pisses me off. He scammed the New York Appeals Court with the same old whiny lament. I can't afford to pay this. This is such a disgrace. How unfair to Donald Trump.
Rewind 6 months. Yeah. Pretend none of this, the latest case has happened. None of this has happened yet. It's 6 months ago or a year ago, and somebody comes to you and says, guess what? Trump was just ordered to pay $175 million.
Mm-hmm.
We would have thrown a party.
You're right about that.
And today we're looking at it like, it's the end of the world. and again, I'm with everybody on the lack of justice. I am so passionate about that. And it's heartbreaking. And that's why what we do this fall is so important. We've said it before, we'll say it again. You cannot rely on the courts. You cannot rely on the media. You can only rely on you.
Yeah.
And me and our allies.
I don't like it when good things happen to Donald Trump.
I understand.
That pisses me off.
And
the other thing,
the
other thing I don't like is when good things happen to Donald Trump and all of his fanboys recognize it and they just like do their little happy dance, their little peanuts, Snoopy happy dance.
They're a noisy minority.
Yeah.
F them.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, anything that good happens to these people, it cuts into my soul because I know that Donald Trump is a villain. We all know this. And when villains win, it seems like the most unfair thing in the world. And in this case, it probably is. It's up
even there. Even the smallest victory for Snidely Whiplash is galling and angering to the rest of us. And I'm right there with you. I've had that emotion. I've passed through the stages of grief on this.
Yeah.
And I just think... He still has to pay $175 million.
Yes, you're so right about that.
He's going to have to pay hundreds of millions more. Mm. And in 3 weeks, he goes on criminal trial for trying to steal an election by lying on government forms about hush money to a porn star.
I try to think in terms of, or at least to put those dollar figures in perspective. Like, okay, $175 million, that's a lot. So if that total were to be reduced by $100 million, he would still owe $75 million, and if you got let's say you got a bill in the mail from the IRS for let's say $7,500, you would be crapping yourselves. I know I would be crapping myself if I got a tax bill in the mail for $7,500 that I owed, and Donald Trump owes that plus millions and millions and millions more. So yes, in that regard, it is, you know, an F you to Donald Trump. And I do appreciate that. But still, it's a huge break down from $500 million with interest to that number, plus an additional 10 days to work it out. It's like he gets all this all this
leash it has that appearance.
Slack, yeah.
It has that appearance, but I'm not buying the media headlines of yesterday that say this is a huge win for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I don't think he's won jack yet. This isn't over yet. You know, I'd say it's far too soon to declare a verdict here, in my opinion. I'm waiting until we get the judgment.
I like you, Buzz Burbank. I'm glad you're here, because otherwise I would have still been screaming. But
yeah, no, I understand. Listen, I'm totally with you. I mean, I was outraged. Ask my wife what my reactions were, what my obscene reactions were when that first decision came in yesterday. Yeah. And the decisions came like within an hour of each other. Mm-hmm. The first one saying that he gets another 10 days and he only has to put up $175 million. And of course, I was pissed off, as a lot of progressives were, before I went to read the details.
Yeah.
Unlike a lot of progressives who didn't. I'm sorry, it's true. And so what we get is a lot of pearl clutching and hand-wringing out there, and it isn't over yet. Yeah, even the smallest win for Snidely Whiplash pisses us off, but it ain't over yet. He still may have to pay that amount and more, that $464 million and more. So, it's just too soon to say. I think the purpose of this, I'm going to cling to the belief that the purpose of yesterday's ruling was to help make sure that he has to pay that $464 million and more.
Yes, and I have the feeling he's going to get a loan from an overseas bank.
Could be. He hasn't ruled it out, yeah.
As the trend has gone, he's going to get away with it. He's going to get away with doing that. It's going to be a
Jesse?
Thing.
Where's Jesse?
He can't keep getting away with it! He can't keep getting away with it!
I hate that we've reduced that to a drop-in, because the performance by Aaron Paul in that scene was breathtakingly good.
One of the greatest actors ever.
Yes, and we've turned it into a meme on the show.
That's right. I don't think anybody involved with the show will mind that.
Yeah. But it's absolutely true. He keeps getting away with it. And so it seems.
Progressives are pre-programmed now to see the worst in everything. And that's understandable, because we've certainly got a heaping helping of it over the last 8 years.
Yeah.
It's a natural place for us to go. I go there myself at first. A lot of times, then when I go to read the details, I find out maybe things are not as bad as they seem at the time.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Yeah. I've been wrong before. I am known as the rose-colored glasses guy. But I wear that as a badge of honor. I really
do.
I think I'm right here. We'll see.
You and Simon Rosenberg and Hal Sparks and many others, Tom Bonilla, y'all have positive attitudes about these. And I just said y'all, by the way, for the first time on the show.
You're welcome to do that.
Y'all have positive attitudes, and that's a good thing. Because I see all of this in context of all the other shit too. So when this story broke and I found out that he had a reduced amount for the bond and he had 10 more days wiggle room to try to come up with it, I was thinking all the previous things, all the stuff that he's gotten away with. The fact that, you know, there was that massive COVID death toll as a consequence of his incompetence, and he's gotten away with that. And you could do this list all goddamn day. And that's what's frustrating me. It's not the one thing by itself. It's the one thing by itself plus all the other things surrounding it.
I knew when we were standing in the blast of the fire hose of news during the Trump administration, I knew that there was no way that he could be held accountable
for
each and every of these things,
and
that they were somehow going to have to be, and God, I hate to even use the word prioritized, because what's not high priority about 100,000 American deaths?
Yeah.
What's that he may personally be responsible for? I've read he may have actually killed more people than Hitler.
Yeah.
That's
a lot.
That may have been hyperbole on the part of the speaker. I just want it on the record that it has been said. The truth is, I mean, you've talked about estimates of the number of people he probably killed through his ridiculous, incompetent, phony baloney policies.
Yeah.
And yet that's probably one of the things for which he will not be held accountable.
No, of course not.
As astounding as that is, he probably won't be. Let's get him on what we can. Let's get him out of the political scene and behind bars. And it's a long, laborious process, but a lot of us are not ready to give up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see pessimism online, by the way. And I just want to remind my fellow progressives who are among the pessimists, you're not helping. Yeah. You're demoralizing your fellow troops. Do you understand? You are demoralizing your own team. How do you think this is helping us save democracy? Huh?
Well, I am partially or mostly guilty of that.
Well, you come forth with fact, and and facts are sometimes not pretty. Mm-hmm. It's the people who say, we're screwed. We're never going to win.
He's never going to pay.
Yeah, Eeyore. I want to see evidence.
Yeah, I know. One of the bits of evidence that we may get in the coming days is that maybe Donald Trump gets a loan from the Bank of Cyprus. Remember the Bank of Cyprus? Remember that from all those Rachel Maddow A-blocks about
Seychelles?
Trump Russia?
Yeah.
Where any bank linked to Russia be constantly aware of where that money trail goes, where it ends up, because it could end up being, if Donald Trump gets a loan from the Bank of Cyprus or any foreign loan, we got to start connecting the dots, because I bet those dots lead back to Moscow. And that's a fair assumption to make, I believe. But one last thing I wanted to mention here real quick, Buzz, before we take a short break, is the Biden campaign, by the way, isn't pulling any punches.
Yes.
It's going directly for antagonism. And after everything that was going down in New York City yesterday, the Biden-Harris released a campaign statement on Trump's press conference, which
loved this.
We're going to talk about it in a second here.
Ooh, good.
But the statement said, Donald Trump is weak and desperate, both as a man and as a candidate for president.
Yeah.
He spent the weekend golfing, the morning comparing himself to Jesus, and the afternoon lying about having money he definitely doesn't have. His campaign can't raise money. He is uninterested in campaigning outside his country club. And every time he opens his mouth, he pushes moderate and suburban voters away with his dangerous agenda. America deserves better than a feeble, confused, and tired Donald Trump. Wow, that's the Biden-Harris campaign.
You didn't read the PS. The PS is nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
Yeah, and of course, Frank Luntz was trolling that. He said, whatever happened to they go low and we go high?
Huh? Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Look, you got to antagonize Donald Trump. That's what draws him out and makes him say things that make things worse for Donald Trump. So this is the perfect tactic. And by the way, Rachel Bitticoffer was just applauding the hell out of this, rightfully so. And so when Rachel Bitticoffer says something's a good move from the Biden campaign, I try not to disagree with Rachel Bitticoffer. So
yeah, she knows her stuff. I love her. She's wonderful. I'm glad you had her on this week. If you missed Bob's Wednesday interview, be sure and catch it. I don't even know what month this is.
Neither do I. I know that Cliff Schechter is on the show tomorrow, so it's going to be Cliff Schechter on the interview show. Yeah, Cliff Schechter Day. Excellent. Yeah, so lots more still to come on today's show. Trump's hush money trial, Ronna McDaniel. We got to talk about Ronna McDaniel here in a second.
How's
plus
that?
Marjorie Taylor Greene and the possible ouster of Speaker Mike Johnson and the Republicans down to a one-vote majority. Ha, ha, ha. We're going to laugh about that and have some fun with that stuff.
Yeah.
And more outrage to come on the Ronna McDaniel front. Back with more podcast right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. Trying to figure out the world can seem very overwhelming, but it isn't. good people with too much power do really bad things, and bad people with a little bit of power do really bad things. That's all you need to know to start putting it all together for yourself.
Literally listening to you, two themes, power corrupts and follow the money.
And absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
You got it.
And so that's why America, as messy and difficult as it is, has checks and balances in place, supposedly to hold the very, very powerful to account. We need checks and balances to prevent good people with a lot of power from doing bad things and to prevent really bad people with a lot of power from doing really, really, really heinous things. Because guess who pays for that? Me, you, your kids, your grandkids. And I'm done. We're done paying for really bad things. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhoads.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska.
Those crazy nights I do remember in my youth. I do recall those were the best times, most of all.
Yeah, Cersei Link, Christian Nesmith.
Wow.
Covering Journey. God, I love this. Yeah. And we are now back to daylight in most of the United States. I'm so glad to see that. There's sunshine after we're done doing the show, Buzz. I like to see that. And summer is just around the corner, so. Maybe celebrating a little too early for summer because it's still freezing outside. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely spring here in Florida, and the weather's been beautiful. That's one of the reasons I moved here and insist on staying here, even with all the red hats.
Yeah. Well, link in the description to support Cersei Link and Christian Nesmith. You have to buy the CD of the album that this song is on. So it's like an actual compact disc, a physical media. Which we seldom see, right?
This was so good when you started it a moment ago that it had to be Christian and Cersei, because what they just did here, what they're doing here, is hard.
Yeah.
Because you want to do, if you're going to do a cover song, you don't want to piss off the people who love the song.
Right.
But at the same time, you want to do something unique.
Yeah.
They have done that here with the vocal style and with the hard guitar in between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
They've made this song their own. Yeah. That's a great challenge to rise to. They are to be congratulated for that.
Yeah, bobseska.com/music to submit your work to the show. And by the way, while you're at bobseska.com, this is kind of a big deal, but in the marketing industry, they call this a soft launch. I just posted a brand new merchandise store for the Bob Seska show. And where's my studio audience? There they are. Yeah.
Oh, so, they're excited, Bob, I can tell.
Yes. And so I've made a bunch of new T-shirt designs for the show. And of course, it's not just T-shirts. There are magnets. There's wall
stickers.
Art. You can get pillows. You can get totes. You can get mugs. A whole variety of T-shirts. I set up the new store at Tee Public, which I've been buying some T-shirts from them for some time now. In fact, I got you a couple of T-shirts. I sent you
did, yeah.
A few. I sent you a Warren Zevon shirt I got from Tee Public.
One of my favorites.
And an Indestructible shirt.
I'm wearing my Indestructible shirt right now, you know, which is based on my many health battles, my using up 5 of my 9 lives. But what I love this shirt. It's so soft, and it's because of these tea people.
Yes, right. Tee Public is who you're thinking
Public.
Of. Yes.
That's who I meant to say. Yes, Tee Public.
And so the way you get this stuff is to go to bobseska.com, and just beneath the logo, you'll see a link for the new store. And in fact, the link says new store. So that's all you got to do. Just go to bobseska.com. Right there at the top where you see my bulbous head next to the logo, just below that, you'll see a link for, and it says new store. So just click that link. It'll take you right to the Tee Public store where you can get merchandise with the following things listed.
This is
printed on them.
These are fun. These are really fun.
Yeah. First of all, I did a series of shirts and mugs and stuff with the Larry Kudlow quote on them. we all know the Larry Kudlow drunken rant about Greenland.
Greenland is a strategic place up there, and they got a lot of valuable minerals.
Yeah,
I don't want to predict an outcome. I'm just saying the president,
few too many mimosas,
who knows a thing or two about buying real estate. Uh-huh. Wants to take a look. Low interest rates, no inflation, virtually no inflation, Chuck Todd. So I actually think it's a pretty good story. And again, let me echo my theme. Let's not be afraid of some optimism.
Yeah, there you go.
And by the way, as Johnny Carson said to a drunken Ed McMahon one night, you know you're not fooling anybody, right?
Right. And so, yeah, I did a transcription of that, so you can get T-shirts with that. The text and just a big block on there. Plus the Bob Seska Show logo. I've got one that says Burbank and Seska and Ferguson and Hamilton and Johnson. Just all of our names, the whole troop listed on there. There's a series of T-shirts like that where they did a whole bunch of like and shirts with a list of names with the ampersand at the end. And so this is just piggybacking
on that
meme. Yeah.
It's great. It's very cool.
And then there is a shirt based on something we were talking about on Thursday's show. It's a really new meme on the show. And David referred to the Republicans as itchy dicks. They're all just a bunch of itchy dicks. And they are. They're, you can compare the entire the Trump Republican movement right now to just a bunch of people who are itchy dicks.
Sounds like a hygiene problem.
Yeah. So I made a T-shirt with like a restaurant logo called Itchy Dicks Bar and Grill. Yeah. And then there's a T-Rex on there, a cartoon T-Rex that says, tell him T-Rex sent you. On there, yeah.
There's one of those on the shore, at the shore, aren't there? Don't they have an itchy dicks at the shore?
I wouldn't be surprised. And then finally, I just posted a design for Cultopraxipro, which is the fake pharmaceutical that I did a bit about this years and years ago about the Duggars, Michelle and Jim Bob Duggar. And so
they seem like people who had been hypnotized in the year 1950.
Yes, that's right. And so I realized when I told you about this before the show, I realized that you hadn't heard the bit. I'm not going to play the whole bit because it's long. I'm just going to play a section of it so you understand what this is all about.
Hello and God bless. My name is Jim Bob Duggar from the hit television series 19 Kids and Counting.
And I'm Michelle Duggar. I'm a human gestation pod for the Lord.
As you might have read, we've been victimized by an evil, devilish media scandal.
The media... agenda... media... just...
People have asked us, wow, Jim Bob, how do you and Michelle stay so even-keeled and unaffected by all the turmoil and improper touching?
Turmoil? Is the devil's work.
Yes, it is, Michelle.
I like shoes. Shoes are fun.
Here's how we achieve our current state of glazed, vacant, emotionless bliss. From the folks at Quiverful Laboratory in Heber Springs, Arkansas, we've been taking all new maximum strength Cultopraxipro.
Cultopraxipro.
Right you are, honey. Maximum Strength Cultopraxipro is a cocktail of the world's finest anti-anxiety and anti-psychotic medications, including...
chlorpromazine, loxapac, drolaptin, perfenazine, compazine, safris, abilify, lurasidone, seroquel, zyprexa, clozapine, nipalept, and haloperidol. Praise the Lord, there's an actual halo...
Anafranil, Norpramin, Cinequan, Trofranil, Marplan, Nardil, MSAM, Parnate, Xanax.
All right, I think you get the idea. So they go on listing pharmaceuticals and drugs that are...
Cultopraxipro.
Cultopraxipro. Yeah. You combine all those things and you get Cultopraxipro. So I did a Cultopraxipro logo, which you can get on T-shirts and mugs and so forth. The great thing about TeePublic is there's a whole variety of T-shirts that you can select from. You can get like a baseball-style T-shirt with the three-quarter sleeves. You can get a V-neck shirt, V-neck, which is one of my favorites.
That's what Bob and I wear. Yes, we recommend them.
Yes, absolutely. So again, bobseska.com. Click the new store link just under the logo. And again, don't forget to click over on the left-hand panel for links to T-shirts. Of course, tank tops, hoodies, crew neck sweatshirts,
everything.
Kids T-shirts, wall art, mugs, pillows, totes, tapestries. Pins. There's lots of pins, phone cases.
Mix them, match them, trade them with your friends.
Yeah, stickers, magnets, etc. So there you go. Go just buy everything. Our crap. Yes, please do. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so so Ronna McDaniel was hired by NBC News, and this was a great source of outrage when we found out. I think the word came down, as it usually does, just after Kimberly and I finished recording the Friday After Party.
That is true. I remember that's true.
And we learned that, NBC News has hired Ronna McDaniel to be a political contributor, political analyst.
And by the way, this was no accident that this news was released at the close of business on Friday.
Right.
Right.
Take out the trash day. That's what that was.
Right.
Because they knew what was going to happen. And rightfully so, they received all kinds of backlash as a consequence of that, because Ronna McDaniel is a serial liar. She's an enabler of Trump's crimes and tyranny. She aided and abetted an attempted overthrow of an election.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, she sucked at her job.
Not good on TV either.
Yeah, well, but she was terrible throughout her entire tenure as chair of the RNC. She's lost election after election after election after election.
Right.
And so suddenly she is seen now by NBC News as an expert, someone who will present information and political analysis on the level. Are you fucking kidding me? No way that's going to happen.
Yeah, and I don't think that's what they were thinking. I think it's the thing we've talked about before, because we've talked before. What are the motives for media selling out to MAGA? And the answer is that they hope to win back the viewers. And as I've said before, that ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they also hope that our new dictator and overlord will have mercy upon them, and that's not going to happen either.
No.
So they both are fool's errands, and yet they pursue them nevertheless. And that is why they hired Ronna McDaniel. Ostensibly, it was to give them some insight in today's modern Republican Party.
Yeah.
But as we all know, that's horse hockey. And the thing is, and you'll hear from Red Hats, and this is your argument back, I think, when you hear from Red Hats, well, what would kill you to have a conservative viewpoint on MSNBC?
No.
It'll only kill us to have someone who actively participated in a plot to overthrow the United States government.
Yes.
The difference between Joe Scarborough and Ronna McDaniel, the difference between Lawrence O'Donnell and the difference between Jen Psaki and Ronna McDaniel is none of them tried to overthrow the government.
Of course. But you know what? The person who hired Ronna McDaniel, and it is narrowed down, there is one executive whose name I forget right now.
Four are involved, but at least three of them are on the chopping block, right?
Well, I assure you that when they went into this, they saw Ronna McDaniel as being on the same level as all of the liberal contributors and liberal hosts on the network.
Right.
Well,
right.
I mean, if we can have Jen Psaki doing a show, then we can have Ronna McDaniel because, you know, they're equivalent. Yeah, they're kind of the same level of partisanship. No. They're both partisans. Only Ronna McDaniel participated in an attempted overthrow of an election and was fucking terrible at her job. One of the best things you can say about Jen Psaki is she was great at her job. She was an excellent communicator. She did a hell of a job as press secretary for Joe Biden there, especially in that first year. And so, it makes perfect sense. You get a competent person who's got a record of veracity. Well, that's fine, even if they're partisan. But Ronna McDaniel doesn't have any of that shit. In fact, Katie Fang posted this. Ronna McDaniel is a necessary and material witness who possesses unique knowledge regarding the fake electors' conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. And she posted a piece of one of the documents in the Cheesebro case, where it says here, based on the representations made by the state, the court finds that Ronna McDaniel is a necessary material witness. Ronna McDaniel possesses unique knowledge concerning communication between herself and Donald Trump, as well as communications between herself and John Eastman regarding the conspiracy to cause certain individuals to falsely hold themselves out as duly elected and qualified presidential electors for the November 3, 2020 presidential election. So
she helped with the fake electors scheme.
That's the new hire at NBC News. The thing I keep thinking about, Buzz, is yes, this was a cynical decision made in order to get access to Donald Trump should he become president again. But the problem here is that doesn't NBC News at least want to present the optics of being honest and having journalistic integrity?
The problem is NBC News is run by people who have never been reporters or whose reporting experience was extremely limited.
Mm-hmm.
The four people in charge, and I don't remember all of their names and all of their titles, mm-hmm. but at least a couple of them have absolutely zero journalism experience.
Yeah.
So they don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're suits that were brought in because they're good at being suits.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think it's terribly conspicuous that Lester Holt has not weighed in. I hope he's not going along to get along.
Yeah.
I don't know why Lester remains silent and NBC News remains tainted with the stink of Rona McDaniel,
mm-hmm.
While MSNBC has pretty successfully shut her out to the best of its ability. And I'll stop there.
Yeah, well, I think it's good. I think MSNBC made the right choice. And in fact, last night, most, if not all, of the primetime hosts had something to say about Ronna McDaniel's hiring at NBC News. So
Yeah. It
looks like what's going to happen is Ronna McDaniel will appear on the NBC network news and its election coverage, which is actually kind of worse than being on MSNBC because there are more, quote unquote, regular people who watch the network news,
right,
as opposed to MSNBC, which is people like you and me and everyone who listens to the show.
It's rightly perceived as a liberal news outlet, in my opinion,
sure.
And that's how it should be viewed, I think, although obviously far more honest than its alleged conservative counterpart.
Yeah. So here's Rachel Maddow on her show last night talking about this very issue, and all of the primetime hosts condemned this decision.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, if I can lay this out a little bit, obviously it started with Chuck Todd Sunday on Meet the Press. He was the first to speak out on air, and you know, Kristen Welker, you know, she nodded, and then and then Monday, starting with Joe and Mika. Mm-hmm. In the morning and all the way through the day, except maybe the Andrea Mitchell show, through the rest of the day, there were attacks on NBC's decision, either allowed to be said by one of the guests or the host themselves said it. And yeah, this continued into prime time and really reached its apex at about 10:25 p.m.
Yes. Let's listen to Chuck Todd first. Todd, as Larry Kudlow said, Chuck Todd.
Chronologically.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Larry Kudlow was talking to Dana Perino when he said, virtually no inflation, Chuck Todd. Well, it's Dana Perino. You can't confuse those two people. Anyway, so here's Chuck Todd Sunday morning on Meet the Press talking to Kristen Welker, who had Ronna McDaniel on the show.
Yes.
Not realizing that she was then a paid contributor. She was on the show as a guest, booked on the show as a guest, but they didn't know. Meet the Press didn't know, allegedly. So here we go.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. Well, I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. Mm. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? What, once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. So it is, you know, that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News's credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access to audience. Sometimes it's access to an individual.
There it is.
And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that. And I'm willing to have that debate. And if you told me we were hiring her as a technical advisor to the Republican convention, I think that would be certainly defensible. If you told
me
we're we're talking to her, but let's see how she does in some interviews and maybe vet her with actual journalists inside the network, see if it's a two-way, what she can bring the network. So I do think, unfortunately, this interview is always going to be looked through the prism of who is she speaking for, right? I think you did everything you could do. You got put into an impossible situation booking this interview, and then all of a sudden the rugs pull out from under you. You find out she's being paid to show up. That's unfortunate for this program, but I am glad you did the best that you could, and that's why the three of us are on here to try to bolster that editorial independence.
Should have stopped about a minute ago, Chuck.
Yeah. That's a long clip, but yeah, it was. It's a rare occasion when Chuck Todd goes up against his own bosses there and reveals some truth.
I never thought I would say this. I'll give that comment 3 out of 4 stars, maybe. Okay. And here's why. Here's what Chuck didn't say. Here's why he didn't earn the fourth star.
Okay.
He thought management owed an apology to Kristen Welker, but he didn't think management owed an apology to its viewing audience. He thought there were questions about Ronna McDaniel's credibility, but he raised no questions about the damage that could be done to NBC News credibility.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised at the things he didn't. I'm disappointed in the things he didn't say, but I'm way more pleased than I expected to be with the things he did say.
This, again, I have to say that the source of my outrage for this has a lot to do with Ronna McDaniel and NBC News hiring her. Mm-hmm. But again, in the broader spectrum of things, it really tweaks my paranoia about what we're getting from the mainstream political press right now.
More than ever.
Yes.
It's becoming clear.
Yeah, because I get the feeling that it's not about, as Chuck Todd said, journalistic ethics. That it's all about the cynical cash grab. It's like, I don't care. We got to have Donald Trump because we want the ratings. We want the ratings and revenue, and Donald Trump translates into ratings and revenue. We'll roll the dice as to whether or not we all get arrested by Donald Trump as being the enemies of the people. We'll take that chance with the possibility that we could get a giant windfall, continued windfall in political interest because Donald Trump is president again. This really hits that section of my brain. The spidey sense starts tingling in my brain. I go, what the fuck? And so I begin to really go down that road of paranoia and concern for this country that we're not getting. I sound naive in saying this. I understand what the news media is all about and what it's de-evolved from, beginning maybe in the 70s when you start to loop news divisions into the entertainment division and the commercialization of the news, the monetization of the news, where suddenly ratings in the news are important because revenue and things and those kinds of considerations. I understand the Paddy Chayefsky nature of everything. I'm just saying that now it's one step beyond that, to the point where maybe they're stacking the deck in order to get someone elected, or in preparation of that person getting elected, however you define this. And the hiring of Ronna McDaniel feeds that conspiracy theory, I'll put it in those terms. And so this is deeply, deeply concerning, and I hope they do end up backpedaling on this.
I loved Rachel's message last night, and I know you're going to get to it, but I loved her calling upon the better angels of management, if such a thing exists, to say to them, you know, there is honor in saying you made a mistake and changing your mind. That's courageous, not cowardice. So I thought that was, but I wanted to make note of the fact that how much of a bigger scandal this has been and it continues to be when compared to when CBS hired Mick Mulvaney. Remember that?
Right. I mean,
there was some upset about that, but it seemed to die off quickly. What I've read about that in retrospect, first of all, he no longer works there. He now works at News Nation because that contract ran out. He was there about a year. It did give CBS News some access to Trump world that they would not have otherwise had. So to this day, CBS still believes that hiring Mick Mulvaney was a good investment.
Yeah.
But it's been going on for a while now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one thing. Like when I started doing the news, I realized, as a teenager, and it was a top 40 radio station, and when such a thing existed, and by thing I mean radio station, when such a thing existed, my friends all listened to it, and mm-hmm. I thought, okay, well, now suddenly I'm doing the news, and the news is very important. It affects your pocketbook, your health. Yeah. These are all important things. Mm-hmm. So my challenge is, since they tune to the station for music, my job is to make it interesting and attention grabbing enough to share with them this important information. That is a far cry from leading with a story about the Kardashians or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I'm exaggerating here, but what I never did was compromise on the material. Mm-hmm. I tried to present it in an ear-catching way, but I never altered the material to try to improve ratings or whatever.
Yeah.
I did it because this was important stuff. Well, now it's changed. Like you said, it's a show. It's about the numbers. It's about the clicks. And the journalism has just lost its way.
Yeah. Well, remember when Megyn Kelly was hired by NBC?
Oh, yes.
She lasted 5 minutes and ended up walking away with, God only knows, I think it was in the millions of dollars
yeah.
to when they broke that contract with her. So she made out like a bandit, but NBC News made a stupid decision, lost a bunch of money, and looked like assholes in the process. I mean, assholes for hiring Megyn Kelly, right. to be clear. They looked heroic when they fired her, when they parted ways with Megyn Kelly, but... still, they hired her in the first place.
I guess if you're going to rank these from bottom to top, it goes Mick Mulvaney, Megyn Kelly, Ronna McDaniel.
Exactly. Okay, so finally, at long last, here's Rachel Maddow last night. This is just one clip.
We promised.
2 minutes long, Rachel discussing the Ronna McDaniel hiring.
Roll but we do defend ourselves as an institution. Not because we're personally offended by the way that we're treated, but because a free and uncowed press is necessary for our democracy. A free and uncowed press is part of our system of government. We stand up for ourselves as a way of standing up for our country and for our Constitution, the First Amendment to which makes it possible for us to exist at all. And so I want to associate myself with all my colleagues, both at MSNBC and at NBC News, who have voiced loud and principled objections to our company putting on the payroll someone who hasn't just attacked us as journalists, but someone who is part of an ongoing project to get rid of our system of government.
Exactly.
Someone who still is trying to convince Americans that this election stuff, it doesn't really work. That this last election, it wasn't a real result. That American elections are fraudulent. Because that argument, that is a necessary part, that is the most necessary part of the overall project of getting us as Americans to give up on this election stuff. Because wouldn't we rather have a real man in charge anyway? Somebody who could really get some stuff done. If only we could clear away all the things in his way. We have a long history in this country of forgettable men. Telling us that we need a new system of government where everything's under their control and politics is over and this new strongman way of government is gonna make America great again. We have had a lot of these guys. But our generation's version of this guy has gotten a lot farther than all the rest of them.
Yeah.
And why is that? He would have been as forgotten as all the rest of them. Had he not been able to attach himself to an institution like the Republican Party, and had the leader of that party in his time not decided that she wouldn't just abide him, she would help. She would help with the worst of it.
Yeah, there it is. And the thing I keep thinking about in this context and throughout the course of today's show, and obviously other times as well, is that the press should never be giving any sort of quarter to any of these people, whether it's Mick Mulvaney or Ronna McDaniel or Megyn Kelly or anyone who aided and abetted Donald Trump's ascension to power and his abuse of that power, and now his renewed attempt to seize that power back. And the fact that his enablers, in fact, one of his strongest enablers, I mean, Ronna McDaniel was at the helm of the RNC when the RNC merged with the Trump campaign in 2020. Right. Or I think it happened in 2019, but it was the 2020 campaign that was the reason for it.
Right.
And instead, these people get elevated and they get contracts and they become part of the news. Are you fucking kidding me? These people should be destroyed. I mean, think about what happened to Barack Obama and his administration when four people were killed at Benghazi. Now multiply that four-person casualty count times 100,000 and you get Donald Trump's final year in office. Not even counting January 6th. I mean, Howard Dean's career ended when he went, yarr!
Right.
That was it. The fact that Barack Obama wore a tan suit to a press conference at around Labor Day became like a three-day story. And yet Donald Trump keeps getting away with it and keeps getting away with it. And the people around him keep getting contracts and they keep getting elevated. Yeah. It's confounding and puts me in that frame of mind. The Jesse Pinkman.
He can't keep getting away with it.
And with what he brings with him is fascism. It can't happen here. It can happen here. Mm-hmm. It is happening here.
Yeah.
Only we, not the media, not the courts, only we can stop it.
Yes. Okay. Now that we've gone 5 hours with today's show.
But wait, we have breaking news.
Oh, God, really? What's happening?
Well, it's actually, I think, probably a good thing. Although the Supreme Court was just hearing arguments today about the abortion pill that is used in 2/3 of the abortions these days.
Mifepristone, yeah.
Thank you. I have trouble with that word, but I know I can say abortion pill. At any rate, the Supreme Court's been hearing arguments about this today and about whether it should or should not be legal. You may be pleased to hear that a majority of the court seemed deeply skeptical of a bid to curtail access to that pill.
Jesus, well, that's surprising.
Something.
Something, yeah. I guess that's good. I mean, who knows where the fuck they're going to end up landing on this. Right now, I'm not the person to ask because my analysis is not hopeful. Because it is what it is. This goddamn Supreme Court is, when there's an opportunity to make a wrong decision, they will make the wrong decision.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this one looks like it, this one looks less evil than previous rulings. I mean, the damage has already been done, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we all know that. Working from that point, working from negative zero, as it were, this is, I think, we can look at as good news.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we got to talk about what's going on in the House of Representatives, and then we will end the show, and then we will continue the show on the Shadow Docket. So here we are, short break, back with more show right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, this is John Fugelsang of SiriusXM, and every morning as part of my parole, we bring you a condensed version of last night's show as the John Fugelsang Podcast. Our guest list has ranged from Brian Wilson to Rakim, Julie Andrews to Ashanti, Willie Nelson to Smokey Robinson, from Mark Hamill to The Who to R.E.M., from Bernie Sanders to Chris Christie, Tyler Perry to Carol Burnett. We've got the best journalists, most qualified opinions, and some of the best comics with the most unqualified opinions. The John Fugelsang Podcast. Get it wherever fine podcasts can be downloaded.
And I don't know what to do. I'm struggling to get over you. In my prayer for tonight, you know I feel depressed, and I know you feel it too.
This is Matt Springfield and a song called Fly. We played this one before. Just go to bobseska.com, find this episode at 326-24, click that link, scroll down, and you'll find links to support all the independent recording artists on today's show. And don't forget to click the new store link just under the logo to buy some of our crap. Over at T Public. Thank you for doing that. Are the shows getting too long? I don't know, because we've been going long for the last few Tuesdays and Thursdays, for that matter. And so just want to check in the comments on Patreon. Let me know if the shows are too long or if they're not long enough or they're just right. But, you know, you never know these things. And I hope they're not too long. I hope everything's okay. Buzz, are you with us? Are you still here?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. You know, it really helps if you turn on. It really helps if you turn on your microphone. Everything I've said so far since we came back from the break has been delightful.
Okay, yeah. Good. So you were talking.
Was great. I'm sorry y'all missed it. All right. Our second y'all of the day.
So this is some exciting news. Marjorie Taylor Greene filed a motion to oust Speaker Johnson after the House passed a $1.2 trillion government funding deal with mostly Democratic votes. So we may have another Speaker of the House, whether it's another Republican, or it might even be Speaker Hakeem Jeffries, given the way the Republicans are owning themselves and falling into their own propellers.
That's the risk, is it actually could be Hakeem Jeffries this time. And that is why.
That's the risk?
The risk to Republicans. I'm getting to the Republican perspective here. Mrs. Flintstone stands alone here. She doesn't have the backing this time that she's had before. Her wing of the party, she has Fred's feet, so I'm guessing she might have been related.
I get it.
She's not getting the following this time, and she's not getting the support this time, because Republicans know that their risk is that it actually could be Hakeem Jeffries this time, or some other Republican they don't like. They're damned if they do and damned if they don't. They're just damned, and that's the best part of it all. It is hilarious to me, and maybe one of the funnest things of the week that Republicans are now down to a one vote majority in the House.
Yes. So last week, Ken Buck not only resigned, but he also screwed Lauren Boebert in the process, which was fun. And now Mike Gallagher is out. He announced he'll resign from Congress on April 19th. Wisconsin law requires Gallagher's seat to remain empty for the rest of his term. After his departure, Republicans will control 217 House seats to the Democrats' 213.
Both of these guys left intentionally timed their exits to screw their own party.
Yes.
They intentionally timed their exits so that their seats would remain empty until the next election, just to screw with their party.
The other thing about this, the other good news about Mike Gallagher and Ken Buck leaving, is this throws into complete jeopardy. I mean, set aside Lev Parnas's testimony last week and the shit show in the House Oversight Committee. Right. But this will effectively end this impeachment nonsense with Joe Biden. They just don't have the votes on the floor. They will never bring this to the floor. I mean, they could end up flip-flopping and maybe bringing in someone else as speaker, and that crazy fucking speaker will do it. But I don't see that happening. All I see is Republicans in disarray in the House of Representatives in an election year. here, which is perfectly timed. Thank you so much, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Thank you, Mike Gallagher. Thank you, Ken Buck. Please keep going.
It is also hilarious that their key witness has been arrested. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious that Democratic lawmakers in the House owned these guys last week. Mm-hmm. Democratic lawmakers, through their speeches and through the failures of Republicans themselves, the impeachment process for Republicans actually died last week, and that's why we have to leave early today to go to its funeral.
Right. It's a wonderful thing, and they keep doing it to themselves. They keep walking into their own propeller. And by the way, what does that sound like when the Republicans got to do this? Oh, wait a second here. The music's too loud. I'm messing it. Everything's falling apart. Okay, let me try this again. I got to play the propeller sound here. Uh-huh. There it is.
Oh,
yeah. There he goes. Marjorie Taylor Greene walking on the propeller. Oh, the mess.
We're going to need a hose.
Clean up at the propeller, please. Mop. Anyone got a mop or? Yeah, hose. I think that would work. You got to hose it down. Maybe a pressurized.
It's cartoon violence, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's true. I'm just saying they're doing it to themselves. No one's shoving them into the propeller. They're just walking in. Yeah.
No.
They say, oh, where am I going? Oh, whoops. Now I'm in a million pieces.
Look, we're going to have ups and downs. You know this.
Yeah.
We'll get through this. There is good news to be had. Hang in there.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so still to come, the Shadow Docket just around the corner on the Patreon page. Go and sign up right now for $5 a month. You can listen to the Shadow Docket bonus show. This music finishes, and then we just keep on talking. That's the Shadow Docket. And you can hear it on our Patreon page exclusively. So just go to patreon.com/BobSessaShow, $5 a month, and you'll get it. We're going to talk about, I have some thoughts about the Stormy Daniels Peacockumentary.
Oh, good, yes.
Which we finally watched.
Good for you.
And it was worthwhile. I'll just put it that way. Donald Trump's link to TikTok. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that, too. Plus, maybe a little bit of good polling news with a giant grain of salt. Don't get happy.
Sure.
And a whole lot more. And that is all on the Shadow Docket. Maybe some more things in there, too.
Yeah, including a comment Rachel made last night that hasn't been getting attention.
Okay.
You got to be a subscriber to...
Yeah, thank you for that. We'll talk about that right out of the chute on the Shadow Docket. So please do join us over there. And by the way, you know what? If you're not interested in signing up, if you can't afford it right now, you can follow the show on Patreon for free. Just like you would follow like a Facebook page or a Substack. Don't have to pay a damn thing. You get the free shows. Maybe get the app. I'm not sure. All right. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.